The Last Conquest, written by Berwick Coates and read by William Gaminara.
Historical note. It's a typical irony that the best-known battle in English history, and arguably the most decisive, did not take place at Hastings. It was fought on the ridge of a hill about 7 miles away, on the site now partly obscured by the modern town of Battle. Some Normans later called it the Battle of Hastings, because the town of Battle obviously did not exist then. The name Senlac appears in a Norman chronicle of the 12th century and was adopted by the great Victorian expert E. A. Freeman. It suggested that the name may be a corruption of the sandy, marshy area at the foot of the hill, Sand Lake, even that the Sen of Senlac comes from the French sang, blood. The Saxon name for the area was Colbeck, the cold stream. The Anglo-Saxon Chronicle says that the battle was fought at the Grey Apple Tree, Eit Heran Apuldran. I've tried to incorporate most of these ideas into the narrative, hoping that they add to the interest without blurring the clarity of the picture. In general terms, I have made the English refer to it as Colbeck Hill and the Normans as Senlac. 7th of October. Far, far to a distant land. A buzzard lifted itself from the grey branches of a dying apple tree and drifted away westwards from the scrubby hill. It soared and circled above spreading woods, scanty field clumps, and shallow south-flowing streams, scorning the element below, shunning the many beings who had so suddenly made it difficult to keep to regular habits. One of those beings shielded his eyes against the afternoon sun as he squinted upwards at the curiously blunt silhouette.
"They're annoyed with us," said Gilbert.
"Hardly surprising," said Bruno, not bothering to look. Ralph glanced up.
"If they're patient, they'll have curry enough to feed them for a year."
Gilbert spat.
"Great Jesus, Ralph, is that all you can think of?"
Ralph sighed inwardly and looked sidelong at Bruno. Bruno let his eyebrows do the talking. They rode on in silent file, their leggings scratched by fern and bramble, the hooves of their heavy horses thudding into soft soil. They scanned trail and landscape on either side, but there was little knowledge to be gained. Then, after a while, they breasted a small rise and came in sight of a settlement. They reined in beneath the last trees, keeping their helmets out of the sunlight.
"Not much down there, either," thought Ralph.
He looked at Bruno, who was already shaking his head and pulling down the corners of his mouth. Ralph screwed up his eyes at the sun. "Maybe 3 hours of daylight left? Time to go back." He and Bruno had been in the saddle since daybreak. There was nothing here that they had not already seen a dozen times. When Ralph turned his horse's head, Gilbert looked surprised.
"Are we not going down?"
"It's not worth it."
"How do you know? You said yourself—"
"I said a lot of things," said Ralph,
his shoulders now aching all the more at the prospect of camp and rest ahead.
"Now I say it's not worth it."
"I can go," said Gilbert.
"Well, please yourself,"
said Ralph over his shoulder. Gilbert looked surprised.
"Do you mean that?"
Ralph paused.
Gilbert seized upon his hesitation. "How can I improve unless I try my own judgment? You said yourself—"
"Yes, yes."
Ralph looked at Bruno. Buzzards and other birds hovered closely round the settlement. There was no sign of smoke. Bruno nodded. Ralph turned to Gilbert.
"Go then, but be careful. We shall not hurry back. You can catch us up. If you lose our trail, go back by the way we came. You remember the landmarks, I presume?"
Gilbert tilted his head scornfully.
"Of course."
For the first time, Ralph grinned.
"All right, but take no risks."
He began to turn away and suddenly remembered.
"Oh, and I know," said Gilbert.
"Look after the hauberk." He plucked at some of the shining links of mail that he never tired of polishing. They both laughed. Ralph watched him pick his way down towards the settlement.
"I can see no risk in you."
"No," said Bruno. "None whatever."